CliffCentral.com.
Let's turn our attention to Jaco Voigt, who's coming in this morning to do his show. He is the CEO of Catalytic. Welcome, Jaco. You've met Ruth and Mash before. How are you?
Good morning. Well, and everybody?
Lucky to see you.
Lucky, yeah, lucky. Good.
Have you been watching Ancient Apocalypse?
I've not. I've been listening to you guys this morning, and it's sounded like you're quite philosophical about what we're doing here and where we're going.
Well, so I mean, interesting. Isn't it interesting? Don't you think that there's possibly another explanation for what happened in human prehistory?
I was actually saying to my wife yesterday, I read somebody posted on Twitter, what if mycelium was basically feeding humans so that they can feed on us later when we die? So it was interesting.
Yeah.
So who knows what we're doing here?
Maybe we're just fuel for the mushrooms.
Maybe we're just here for the mushrooms. I know there's some people that I'm sure that is just here for the mushrooms.
Wow.
Absolutely.
So Jaco, didn't you just go and do some race somewhere? Did you go to Mossel Bay? What was that thing?
Yeah, there's a place in, between Oudtshoorn and Prince Albert. We went for 4 days to go and run 80 kilometers in a mountain there.
That is properly insane. I went to my doctor yesterday. He does these half Ironmans, and he did a full Ironman a couple of years ago. And you and your wife do these crazy 80 kilometer things. Now, just explain exactly what it is, because you just talk about it like it's not a big deal. But if I had to do 2 kilometers, I'd probably die.
No, look, what we're doing is it's still baby stuff. There's guys that run 160 kilometers. So we're doing baby stuff. We did.
Yeah.
Oops.
Oh, is that us? Let me just check if I remove Jaco here and I put him back on. Very strange.
I always look at these people and wonder who's chasing them. Like, do they have imaginary? Like, why? Why do you torture yourself?
Who are you running from?
Exactly. All right, while we're trying to get Jaco back on, because we've still got a few minutes to talk to him, other stories in the news this morning. The last time Jacob Zuma went to jail, Twitter was moderated. This time, not so much. there are a lot of stories at the moment that are coming out about Twitter and how it's changed under Elon Musk. And, you know, Donald Trump is back on and this has got people crazy. But in mid-2021, Jacob Zuma went to jail and deadly riots spread through KZN and Gauteng. On Monday, the Supreme Court of Appeal ruled that Zuma should return to jail, though possibly only after he appeals to the Constitutional Court. And obviously things have changed now. The government has recognized it, and it started to fix intelligence and policing failures that allowed violence and destruction to spread during those riots. Political power has shifted, such as the door opening on President Cyril Ramaphosa stepping aside if he's charged with a crime, and Elon Musk has gutted Twitter. So people are nervous. What does this mean? I don't think it means very much at all, but that's just me. We'll have to see what happens. Hey, Jaco, sorry, we lost you. I think it was our fault.
No, it was my fault. Sorry, this load shedding. You know what they say, the mechanic's car is always in the shop, so my internet gave way, you know.
All right, well, let's talk about the internet, because this is what you and your company do. It's part of the reason that you have your own podcast where you talk about all kinds of interesting stuff to do with cybersecurity, and you've had some amazing guests this year. What is the largest, in your opinion, cybersecurity threat in the world right now? Where do you think that threat's coming from?
Well, last week when you and I were chatting about how everybody is saying they're so tired after the year and everybody is just in holiday mode now, I think the biggest threat for everyday businesses at this very point in time is holiday. You know, it's holidays coming up. You know, everybody is a lot more relaxed. I think people tend to go and leave, so there's less people in the office, and that makes us less vigilant. And then obviously, if you're going away on holiday and you're closing up shop, that IT system's it still sits there. It's also alive, and it sits there and it's possibly at your office. And who's looking at it? You know, so I think holiday at this point, at this time of the year, is probably the biggest security risk that there can be.
So you've got to be extra vigilant now. Which country in the world has the best cybersecurity?
If I had to take a guess off the cuff, I'd probably say Israel. You know, those the technology that they churn out is really, really amazing. I mean, I obviously collaborate a lot with the US, but I mean, Israel is, from a technology and from a security perspective, is I think it's top notch. I think in South Africa, you know, we tend to be, I think we're getting there, but we're not always as vigilant and you know, aware of what can go wrong as other people in the world. But yeah, I think we're getting there. You know, it's a continuous getting the message out there and getting people to understand, because the problem with it is when similar, you know, we always talk about this, similar to your house, whenever you want to or have to invest in security, you know, it's going to cost money, you know. So what's the value of a security investment or upgrading your security? Well, the value is until something goes wrong, then you wasted money. When something goes wrong, then the money was well spent, you know. So
right.
It's always difficult for to quantify that until something happens.
So,
Yaku.
Go ahead, Mash.
Yes.
All right. Yaku, one of the biggest actually fears when it comes to cybersecurity for most companies is the PR of it, you know, especially when there's a hack. The PR of it is the most terrifying thing, because your customers or your clients knowing that their personal information could possibly be in someone else's hands from your servers is one of the most terrifying things for any business owner. And I wanted to find out, is it compulsory for businesses to actually communicate with their client base and tell them that, listen, guys, we've been hacked? Or can businesses just keep quiet and just shush about it? Is it a must for them to actually communicate that? And I'll also explain why I'm asking that, but please just answer first.
Wow, that's not an easy question. I think, Amash, I think if you look at with Poppy that's in play now, I think when an incident happens, you know, you've got to go at least to the relevant authorities in your industry and go and report it. I think you have to try and get ahead of something when it happens. Let's be honest, you know, you've got customers, employees, suppliers. How can you keep something like that a secret? So I don't think there's necessarily a law or a regulation that compels an organization to go to the public and say, listen, this happened. But I think just being wise about it, because you can't hide it, you know, somewhere somebody's going to know about it. And then if you didn't say anything, then you know, how can you talk your way out of that thing?
Yes. I was asking because my hosting provider, actually, I think they got hacked. And I'm saying this because I've been getting emails from a whole different domain with like Russian RU, what's it called? Subdomains, yeah. And so forth. And
yeah,
I actually asked them, I was like, are you guys hacked? Because I'm getting emails from foreign email addresses with my customer number and my details there. And it's saying, listen, click this link to renew this or renew that, renew this email or that domain and so forth and so on. And I'm like, hey, Bo, something's wrong. And I've been getting these for like the past 2 weeks, and I contacted them. They're like, no, don't worry.
Bro, they won't admit. They
got my information somehow.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. So they won't admit that they've been hacked.
Yeah, sir.
They won't.
Yeah, so Maj, I think you know, that's in a podcast that I had last week where we spoke about email and stuff like that, you know, so you can be a email or an internet service provider, and there's people can try and you know hack you or fish or whatever. But it's not to say that it came from that service provider. You know, it can be that details were obtained elsewhere. But in saying that, I think, you know, when you blatantly go and ask a service provider, listen, were you hacked because of this and this and this, I think people will out of the nature of our industry, people will be apprehensive and maybe maybe try and talk around it if you talk about it. I have this talk often. Or discussion often now, for me specifically, post this pandemic, you know, customers tend to be perpetually dissatisfied and almost a little bit distrustful of any service providers. So post pandemic, you know, all of us are having a hard time. You know, customers just want more, and they tend to be more unreasonable. So it's not an easy job as it used to be, you know.
You've
earned the right, Yaku.
I interviewed a guy yesterday who was the former COO of Lego, and he was fascinating to talk to. And one of the things he said is that the customer is not always right. And it takes a brave person in business to be able to accept that their customer might be wrong. And sometimes you have to educate people, and especially when they're not expert in a certain area, they're asking questions, they just don't know what the answers should be. And this is really why we like to get Yaku on, because there's so many things around this that we don't consider on a day-to-day basis. So Yaku, it's obviously, it's December, it's the holidays, there are lots of things that are not on people's mind. Your IT in your office, your cybersecurity, all of that stuff. People are also betting on the World Cup at the moment. Sports betting has gone through the roof in the last couple of days. So are there things that you can tell us we should do? Like if you leave your house, should you switch off your router? Should you disable all of that stuff?
Well, so Garrett, that's interesting. I think we know we're going into this increased form of load shedding, and electronics as a by nature doesn't like on and off right. all of the time. So I think switching it off, is neither here nor there. I think what's important is if you have a small business, and coming back to data is the new gold, if you want to call it that, or maybe the old gold now already. Is how secure is that server sitting in your office? Who's looking at it, et cetera, et cetera? You know, when you were talking about earlier about if our civilization had to disappear, mm-hmm. There'd be no evidence of the cloud and all that type of stuff. I wanted to say, our data center that we operate is bomb-proof. So, that's probably the place where remnants of our civilization will be found. So for me, it's where do you store it? How secure it is, and is somebody looking at it? I think one of the key things that we always try and do is try and monitor services. You know, if you can monitor stuff, then you can manage it. If nobody's looking at it, then it's a problem.
Well, that's unfortunately all we've got time for, but you can hear Yaku doing his own show a little bit later today, and always the most interesting people from all over the world who are at the top of their game in cybersecurity, as is Yaku Voigt. It's always good to see you, dude, and thank you very much for being on the show this morning.
Thank you very much. I'll see you later.
Cool. Awesome. CliffCentral.com.